All right, turn to Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8. And these are parallel passages. In other words, it's the same passage of Jesus teaching. One is recorded by Mark, one is recorded by Luke. So let me give you the references again. Put a marker at Luke chapter 8. That'll be the second reference we turn to, Luke chapter 8. And then open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. And we're going to continue our series, Frequency, Tune In, Hear God. We've been talking about hearing God. Let me say again that I believe the most pivotal message in this series is the message that I brought a few weeks ago called Value His Voice. And we talked about how to specifically set aside time to hear God. And if we don't learn to hear God on a regular, consistent basis, then it's very difficult to hear God in a special circumstance. So please, 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 if you didn't hear that message, go back, listen to it. Make an appointment, set an appointment, set time every day, or at least most days, to be able to spend time with God and hear His voice. So we talked about that, so go back to that as well, all right? Today, the title of the message is Steward His Spoken Word. Steward His Spoken Word. Now, I think all of us understand the concept of stewardship, but let me give you a little bit of a reminder. Stewardship means how we manage someone else's property. Stewardship means how we manage what belongs to someone else. And there are two analogies that we can use right off the bat to help us understand, and that's time and money. Please let me remind you that as a believer, your life is not your own. You are bought with a price. Your time is not your own. Your money is not your own. So how we steward it is very important. I'm excited about moving into the new building. And I'm also excited about something else. And because you know I love to give, and all of you love to give, this is the most giving church I've ever known or ever been a part of in my life, ever even seen in my life. So a few months ago, something dawned on me, and let me just, if it hasn't dawned on you yet, let me let it dawn on you, and you can get excited about it too. I'm excited about the first offering in the new building, because I believe when we give the first to God, the rest is blessed, the rest is consecrated. And I know you believe that as well. We have one of the highest percentages of tithers of any church that I know here. So you believe in giving the first to God. So I'm already praying about the first offering. And so I want you to pray with me about that. We want to give a first fruits offering. We want to dedicate the building to the Lord with our finances as well. So will you pray about that? But when we talk about stewardship, let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer this out loud. But do you know where all of your money went last week? All of it. Do you know where your money went last month? Do you know where your money went last year? That's stewardship. Time. Do you know where your time went last week? You know, you only have 24 hours a day. One person wrote me an email, an old friend, and said, you know, can you get together for lunch? And I wrote him back, and I said, I really can't. Because of my schedule, I just can't do it. I'd love to see you again, but I just can't. And he wrote me back. He was a little offended. I could tell he wrote me back, and he said, can't you make time for me? Well, you know, I'm close to a grammarian, at least I think I am. And so I analyze words and sentences when people speak to me sometimes. For me is a prepositional phrase, which means it can be taken off the sentence. That's not the basic part of the sentence. Here's what he said, can you make time? Can't you make time for me? Take for me off. Here's what he said, can't you make time? And I wrote him back and said, no, I can't make time. I wish I could. But God made time. I only have 24 hours. And if I give you an hour, I have to take it away from someone else. You understand what I'm saying? So I just can't do that. So the point is, over the years, God's taught me to manage, steward my money, and to steward my time. Now you say, what does that have to do with this? Do you think that we need to come to the place that we learn to manage when God speaks to us? In other words, if God gives us money and we're faithful with it, He gives us more. We know that. And if we're not faithful with it, He doesn't give us more, because He blesses faithful stewards. Is it possible that when God speaks to us, if we're faithful with the word he gives us, that he'll give us more words. Are y'all following me? But if we're not faithful with it, why would he give us another word? Why wouldn't he give that word then to someone else who would be faithful with that word? I'm going to show you in Mark 4 and Luke 8, two of the most amazing verses I've ever seen in the Bible in my life. And I just saw them in the last few weeks as I've been studying for this series. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Mark 4:24. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. Now watch this phrase that's normally used with stewardship. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, another phrase used with stewardship in other places, for whoever has, to him more will be given. And he's using this in the context of what you hear. But to whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Isn't that amazing? Now, surely you've seen those verses before. With the same measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. They're always referring to stewardship. Or to him who has, more will be given. But even if he doesn't steward what he has well, even what he has will be taken away. And now he says, listen, you need to apply this to what you hear and how you hear. You need to be a good steward of what you hear. Because if you're a good steward of what you hear, I'll give you more. But if you're not a good steward of what you hear, I'm even going to take away what you have. Isn't that amazing? You know, a friend of mine was preaching in a church one time. It was a small church. And, you know, every church seems to have traditions. Not us, but most churches do. We all do. And this was a church that had a tradition of that there had to be prophecies in every service. And obviously we believe in prophecy. But it was like it had become just the thing to do, you know? And so they would sing a couple of songs, and then it would get quiet, and someone would know, okay, if we're going to get out of here at a decent hour, you know, I need to give a prophecy here. So there'd be a prophecy, and then they'd sing a few songs, there'd be another prophecy, you know. And he just, in his spirit, began to realize that they're not valuing God's voice at all. And so he got up to speak. He's the guest speaker, you know, they brought him in. And he said, you know, before I share, he said, what was that first prophecy? He said, what did God say in that first prophecy? And no one could tell him. He said, well, what did God say in the next prophecy? What did God say? And no one said. And so he closed his Bible and his notebook, and he said, if you won't listen to God, you wouldn't listen to me. And he turned around and walked out. He made a good point. I mean, why? If God's going to speak, are we going to pay attention? So I want to give you three ways that we steward God's spoken words, all right? Number one is hearing. I put all of these in the verb tense, hearing, ing tense, the active tense, hearing. God is speaking. Here's what Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Now, I'm going to share something with you that I could have preached 10 weeks on. I'm going to share 10 things under point one that you'll need to write very, very quickly because you're going to get so excited about this. You can go deeper in these and just study these. I'm going to share with you the 10 ways God speaks. For my study in the Bible, because I've read several books, and some say seven, some say five, one says eight, I think I found 10 ways that God speaks. So we'll put them on the screen, but if you want to write, you write them, all right? And I'll try to give you time. And I'll give you an example of each one. These are the 10 ways that God speaks, that the Bible teaches. Here's number one, through circumstances. And an example is Jonah. We're going to come back to Jonah in a moment. But just to give you a brief example while you're writing is that God spoke to Jonah with his voice. Jonah did not heed what he heard, so then God spoke to him through circumstances. Many, many times, you need to look at your circumstances, and God can speak to you through your circumstances. That's number one. Number two, through counsel and Proverbs, all through Proverbs, and we covered this 2 weeks ago. So we talked about counsel, but God can speak through counsel. When we seek godly counsel, we can hear the voice of God. Number three, through peace. Again, this is something we covered a few weeks ago. The two references I gave you then, I'm giving you again. Philippians 4:7, Colossians 3:15. Philippians 4:7, Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, and the peace of God will guard your heart. So God can speak to us through peace. Let me say it again. If you don't have peace, stop. Don't move forward if you don't have peace. But God speaks through peace. Here's number four, through people. God speaks through people. It's all through the Bible. He speaks through prophets, but he speaks through ordinary people as well. He speaks through people. I gave you a reference of Acts 21, verses 10 and 11. This is a New Testament prophet named Agabus prophesying to Paul. But not just a prophet. I want you to think about this because you've had this happen to you. I have been talking to people before, and all of a sudden that person starts saying something that he or she doesn't even know what he's saying, doesn't even know. But I know I'm hearing the voice of God. Have you ever had that happen to you? I mean, that person begins saying something that you've been praying about, God's been speaking to you, and they are talking to you, and you're thinking, I'm hearing God right now. This is God. So God speaks that way. God speaks through people. Number five, through dreams and visions. God speaks through dreams and visions. I gave you again just a few examples. Solomon, you know, had a dream. God spoke to him in a dream. Jacob, you know, had a dream. Peter, John, Paul, there are those some in the New Testament. God speaks through dreams and visions. Matter of fact, one we're going to talk about later is Joseph. And we're going to talk about how Joseph stewarded that word. Number six, through thoughts. God speaks through thoughts. Amos chapter 4, verse 13 literally says that God makes known his ways to us through our thoughts. Isn't that amazing that God speaks to us through our thoughts? And Matthew 1:20, when Joseph thought on these things, the word of the Lord came to him through his thoughts. So God speaks through your thoughts. By the way, there's someone else that can speak through your thoughts. The devil can put thoughts in your mind. And we know scripture on that as well. But also, you can think. I know sometimes you think you can't, but you can. You can think. You can come up with original thoughts. So every time you get a thought, it doesn't mean it's from God. You need to judge whether it's from the enemy, whether it's just you, or whether it's from the Lord. But the Lord can speak through thoughts. Number seven, through natural manifestations. Thunder, water, floods, wind. God can speak through natural manifestations. Romans chapter 1, the things that can be known of God can be known through nature. The book of Revelation, John 12:29 is when he said, Father, glorify your name. And the Father spoke and said, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. It says many thought that it had thundered. They heard thunder, but some heard the actual words. Number eight, through supernatural manifestations. Now, again, you could see I could have done a 10-part series on this right here. I could have spent 10 weeks. I could have taken 1 week and covered every one of these. Through supernatural manifestations, the burning bush, the fleece, Paul on the road to Damascus with a bright light, a supernatural manifestation. Number nine, through the Bible. God speaks to us through his word. Now, I really don't know where I'm going next week to end the series. Next week is when we'll end the series, and I'm praying about that. But God speaks through the Bible, and I'm thinking about next week ending and really focusing on how God speaks through the Bible, but I don't know yet what the Lord is going to lead me to do. Romans 10:17, and then number 10, through a whisper. I like the word whisper. The New King James says a still small voice. One of the dynamic translations says a whisper, and Bill Hybels' book on whispers, I really like that. And of course, the reference is Elijah in 1 Kings 19, verse 12, and God spoke to him. And all of us have heard that small whisper of God, that prompting. So God speaks. Now, is it possible that God is speaking all the time, but the ones that are hearing are the ones that are tuning in? Kind of like a radio station, and people are speaking into a microphone, and those words are going out into the air, and there are people all over that are tuning to the right frequency, and they hear that voice. In the same way, could we tune to the frequency of heaven and hear the voice of God? We read in Mark 4 just a moment ago, if you back up to verse 9, Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. This phrase is in the Bible many times. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself says this phrase seven times in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. He says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In Isaiah, seven times the Lord says, listen to me. Listen to me. Here's what I'm saying. If we're going to hear God's voice, we're going to have to listen. We're going to have to listen to him when he does. We're going to have to tune in to him. Listen to this verse, Jeremiah 7:13. While you were doing these wicked things, says the Lord, I spoke to you about it repeatedly, but you would not listen. I called out to you, but you refused to answer. I'm telling you that God is constantly speaking to his children. It all depends on whether we listen or not. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's very important because we're talking about hearing here. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. Listen, if you've ever met a faithful person, a person of great faith, then you've met a person of great hearing. And you met a person that knows the word of God. We have to understand this. Let me say it another way. I don't move on major decisions without a word from God. And if God speaks, then I have faith. See, when we walk timidly, it's because we haven't heard. So we don't have faith. The way to have faith is to have a word from God, spend time with God, hear God's voice, and God says, yes, take this new job. Yes, move in this direction. Well, then you move with confidence because faith comes by hearing. Listen, we're about to move into a new building in the worst economic recession of most of our lifetimes because we heard God as a church. As a church, we heard God to go ahead and do it right now, and look what God's done. God blessed us to be able to do it. So hearing is the first way to steward God's spoken word. Here's number two, humility. Humility. Now, flip over to Luke chapter 8. If you want to read later the whole chapter of Mark 4 and the whole chapter of Luke 8, you will see that it's the same message or the same teaching from Jesus. It starts with the parable of the soil or the parable of the sower or the parable of the seed. It's been called several different things. But it's where Jesus talks about how we plant the word and some of the ground is good, some of the ground is not good, but the ground that's good receives the word. And this is what he's talking about. He's talking about how you hear God's word. Here's a good question for you. What kind of ground are you? What kind of ground are you? When God speaks, are you receptive? Are you good ground? Or do you have thorns? Are the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things in you so that they choke the word out? All right, now look at Luke 8, because he says it differently in this passage. Luke 8, verse 18. Therefore, Luke 8:18. Therefore, take heed how you hear. And you remember the other one said, take heed what you hear. This says, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have. Now this is different also. What he thinks he has will be taken away from him. You know what he's saying? He's saying, listen, when I speak to you, take heed how you receive it. That make sure you receive it in good ground. Make sure you receive it in pliable ground. Make sure that you're a teachable person. Make sure that you have humility when you receive the word of God. Because if you have humility and if you receive the word of God with meekness, which is what James says, receive the word of God with meekness, humility, which is able to save your soul. It's able to change the way you think, the decisions that you make, the way you feel when you receive God's word with meekness. With humility, it's extremely important because I'm telling you, if there's pride in your life, God stops speaking. He'll try to correct a prideful person, but he's not going to give a prideful person direction. Why? Because he'll receive it for his own good. See, God doesn't speak to prove my point. I wish he did, but he doesn't. God doesn't speak to show everyone else I'm right. God doesn't speak, let me say another way, to build my kingdom. He speaks to build his kingdom. God will not give his word to people who misuse it. Okay, let me, story about Joseph. Let me just read it to you. Genesis 37, verse 5 says, now Joseph had a dream. Now watch this. And he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Now, they already hated him. Now they hated him more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field, and then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brothers said to him, that's a smart thing to tell people, by the way, that hate you, isn't it? And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? And by the way, the answer was yes. Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Okay, let me tell you a couple things. First of all, the dream was from God. In other words, God really did speak to Joseph through this dream. But Joseph's reaction might not have been from God. Why did he have to tell his brothers the dream? I think it was pride. By the way, God gave him another dream then, and he told them the other dream too. He didn't even learn from the first dream. The other dream was about the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowing down to him. He had 11 brothers. He told that to his whole family. And his father rebukes him. He said, shall your mother and I and your brothers bow down to you? Is that what you think? He still didn't handle it. Now, listen very carefully to me. You may say, well, I don't think it was prideful. Well, even if it wasn't prideful, it wasn't wise. Because it got him thrown in a pit. Okay? I want you to think about this. This is absolutely amazing. God never spoke to him in a dream again. Never gave Joseph another dream. Never. Not one time. God gave him two dreams to see how he'd handle it, and he immediately went out and bragged about it. And he never gave him another dream. Now, here's the interesting thing. Do you know what one of Joseph's gifts was? Interpretation of dreams. But he never got another one. Now, here's what happened, though. I think God did a wonderful work in Joseph's life. I have a whole study of Dream to Destiny, a whole book and teaching on Joseph. I think God did a great work in his life. But the next time there was a dream, Joseph wasn't selfish about it. He interpreted someone else's dream, which actually led him to his destiny. And then he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. He interpreted the baker and the butler's dream, which led him then to be able to interpret Pharaoh's dream, which led him then to be the second most powerful person in the world. So God did a great work in his life. It's very important, please hear me, that when God speaks to you, that you don't use God's word to make yourself look better. That you don't take God's word and become prideful about God's word. Look at this verse, James 4, verses 6 and 7. But he gives more grace. Now that's an amazing phrase. You could think on that all next week. I mean, because grace seems to be enough, isn't it? I mean, grace, think about God's grace. That's pretty good. Can you imagine getting more grace from God? Okay, there's a group of people to get more grace from God. Watch this. He gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists. Now look at the word resist. Remember the word resist. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And the context here is more grace. That's who gets more grace from God. Therefore, submit to God, resist. There's the second time we see the word resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. Now listen to me very carefully. If you're prideful, God resists you. You got that? Okay. It's very, very difficult to resist the devil when God is resisting you. And that's what happens to pride. This word resist in the Greek means opposes. And it really comes from a sporting word, which means to play on the opposing team. So let me give you an example. Let me compare it to football, all right? In the Christian life, here's the great thing about being a believer in Jesus Christ. We get to run with the ball. Absolutely amazing. God lets us, in our gifting, whether it's teaching or leading or ministering or serving or preaching or witnessing, whatever it is, God lets us run with the ball, and he lets us make touchdowns. We get to lead people to Jesus Christ. We get to see people healed that we pray for. We get to see people get set free that we pray for. We get to give some finances to a missionary or a building or a car to a family that needs a car. We get to do that. We get to make touchdowns. So here's what God does. He gets the ball. He says, okay, here, I'm going to let you run with the ball. Just one thing now. You just need to do one thing. Just stay behind me. Just stay behind me. It's all you need to do. And so God walks down the field kind of like this. You know, just knocking the enemy out of the way. We get all the way down. Yay, we make a touchdown. We spike the ball. We do the little dance, you know. We get all excited. Everything's great. We made the touchdown. Now, we do this for years and years and years. We lead a life group, or we teach, or we serve, and pretty soon we get pretty good in our gift, you know, and we start thinking, I'm getting pretty, I know how to do this. I've made hundreds of touchdowns by now. So God says one day, okay, here's the ball. We're going to make another touchdown. Just stay behind me. And we say, Lord, listen, you can set this one out. I've got this down. I have made hundreds of touchdowns over the years, Lord. I've preached hundreds of sermons. I can do this, God. You can just sit on the bench for this. Now, what we would think is that God would say, okay, and go over and sit, and then we'd get tackled. That's not what happens. When we get prideful, here's what this verse says right here. We say, God, I don't need to stay behind you. I can do this on my own. God says, oh, okay. Then he walks like this, and he turns around like this. Come on. Come on. Let's just see how far you get. Listen to me very carefully. God doesn't speak to prideful people. This is very, very important when we talk about stewarding God's word. I know a lot of people, very prideful, and they think they hear the voice of God. Let me tell you who they're actually hearing. They're hearing the team that they switched for. They're hearing the enemy. It's called a familiar spirit. They think they hear God, but they're actually hearing the enemy. But they actually believe it's the voice of God. Humility is very important to stewarding the spoken word. And here's number three, heeding. Heeding. He says, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. Now, you remember the story of Jonah? God speaks to Jonah and says, go to Nineveh. He speaks to him, go to Nineveh. What does Jonah do? He gets on a boat toward Tarshish. Okay, you understand, I pointed here to just kind of help illustrate it. Nineveh, that way. Tarshish, that way. Okay, he goes in the opposite direction. So God then causes all the storm. He gets thrown in the sea. He gets swallowed by a fish. Okay, in the belly of the whale or the fish, however you want to call it, you know, whatever did God prepared this fish. It says God prepared, because there's some people say, well, scientifically, this couldn't happen. Well, go back to the Hebrew word prepared. God prepared a fish to do this. So let me just say it very clearly. God can prepare anything he wants to prepare. So he prepares this fish. So in the belly then of this fish, Jonah says, Lord, I was wrong. I would like to go to Nineveh. If you could turn the fish around, I would like to go to Nineveh. So, okay. Here's the thing. God spoke with his voice when he didn't hear it, when Jonah didn't listen to his voice, then he spoke through circumstances. Listen carefully to me. I've had people say to me, you know, I'm just not hearing God's voice right now. Okay, look at your circumstances. And then go back to the last thing that God said to you and see if you did it or not. You know, really, we could even think, just to give you an example, 2 years ago, we made commitments to give so much to the building. Many of us made a commitment. Okay, I'm not trying to put guilt on any of us. I understand. Maybe some things change in your finances. I understand that. But have you done it? If God spoke it to you, if God told you to do something, did you do it? It's very important, because here's what we read in Mark and in Luke. Here's what Jesus said. When I speak to you, if you heed what I say, if you receive my word in good soil, if you take my word and if you do it, I'll speak more to you. But if you don't, I'm not going to speak to you anymore. Please hear what I'm saying to you. If you feel like I just can't hear the voice of God, two things may need to have. Try to go back and figure out the last thing God said to you and see if you did it. Or if you can't remember it, then do what Jonah did. Forgive me. Lord, forgive me, and I want to go your way. Stop going your way and start going God's way. One of the things it says here also is talking about whatever measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. When you look at that, all through the concept of stewardship is if you're faithful with little things, God will give you big things, right? If you're faithful in the little, God will give you big. Many of us want the big word, but we don't do the little word. When I was in New Zealand in May, Debbie and I and the pastor and his wife were having lunch. And this waitress came to her table and, where are you from? Because she didn't have the New Zealand accent. She was from the States. And she said she and her husband had moved over. They'd been there about 3 months and they loved New Zealand. And so we just talked. I started getting this sense that I needed to invite her to church. And then we didn't see her anymore. We just didn't see her. And someone else brought her check. And I found out later she'd gone on a break. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe I didn't hear the Lord. And so we walk out in the parking lot, and this gets stronger. Invite this girl to church. So I said to Debbie and to the pastor's wife, I've got to go back. I've got to invite this young lady to church, she and her husband. So I went back in, and I asked her, and they said, well, she's on a break. I said, I know, but can I just need to tell her something. And so she came back out. I said, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I know you need a break. I said, but I just had this strong impression that I'm supposed to invite you and your husband to come to church this weekend. And her face just lit up. She said, I can't believe you said that. I just can't even believe it. And this, listen, she said, my husband and I have never gone to church. Our whole lives, a few times growing up, but we've never gone, really attended a church. And we've been over here for 3 months. And this last week, we started talking about, we needed to meet some people. And we said, why don't we start going to a church to meet some people? And I can't believe that you're inviting me to church. So she could have gone to some church that didn't even preach the gospel, you know? And yet instead, she comes to this great church. That's a wonderful church. She and her husband. Listen to me. If God can speak to you something that you think is even small and you'll be faithful, he can then speak to you bigger things. I'm asking you, how are you stewarding God's spoken word to you? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. What's the Lord saying to you through this message? Has God spoken something to you that you've not followed through with? Now, I don't want you to feel guilty. That's not, or condemned. That's not at all what I'm trying to do. But maybe you do need to, as Jonah did, repent. And that's the great thing about God. God gives grace, more grace, to the humble. So simply humble yourself and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I haven't followed through with what you've told me to do. And it could be in all sorts of areas. It could be in having that quiet time. Maybe God spoke to you a few weeks ago and you started out strong. Now you've gotten away from it. It could be in stewarding a relationship. You'll be doing something in your marriage or with your children or with your job or maybe volunteering somewhere in the church or maybe giving, maybe tithing. Maybe that's a difficult thing for many people to get over that hurdle to give the first 10% to God. So what's God speaking to you? We want to pray for you. No matter which campus you're attending, whether you're at South Lake or Harkins or North Richland Hills or Frisco, we want to pray for you. And in just a moment, we're going to stand at all the campuses. And when we stand, we're going to have leaders here at the front. You just come to one of the leaders and let us pray for you, all right? Tell us what you need prayer for. Listen to me. It's not embarrassing to come for prayer. It really isn't, because we do this all the time. And all of us need prayer. You're not a big, bad sinner if you need prayer. All of us need prayer. Listen to me. You do not have to be a member of Gateway Church to come for prayer. Maybe this is your first time here. Maybe you're here and you need to give your life to God. Or maybe you need to give your life back to God. But if you need prayer for any area at all, finances, health, relationships, any area, then as soon as we stand up, just step out and come to one of the leaders here at the front. Let us pray for you, okay? Holy Spirit, I pray you'll draw every person that has any prayer need. In Jesus' name, amen.